The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
This week on the Kids Clinic, we are looking at the important developmental milestones a little bit later on in kids' lives. While parents are often ultra-focused on early milestones in their babies and infants of walking and crawling and talking, what about later ones like picking up a pencil or riding a bike? Teresa Foley is a paediatric occupational therapist and joins us to talk about this. Good evening to you. This is really interesting, Teresa, because isn't it the case that we are seeing kids losing fine motor skills and gross motor skills compared to where their previous generations are? And by gross motor skills, I mean things like running, jumping, hopping, those types of things. They seem to be going, but also the fine motor skills. What's going on?
So it's a really interesting observation. And I guess, I suppose as a clinician, I look both at like the research and the kind of anecdotal day-to-day evidence that we're seeing in clinical practice. I don't know if we have the evidence or the data yet to say that motor skills are declining as a population, but definitely anecdotally, we're hearing things that, you know, maybe a generation ago, kids were learning to tie their shoelaces when they were 5, 6, 7. Whereas now I'm meeting teenagers who are struggling to maybe tie their shoelaces, and even brands like trainer brands are now making trainers in much bigger sizes to facilitate kids and young people learning to tie their shoelaces when they're older, which is really interesting.
So do we know, is it because we as parents do too much for them? Is that why? Do we know why?
Oh, look, I don't think there's one simple answer. I think there's a lot of different things going on for children and for families at the moment. One thing that I've definitely noticed is, both as a clinician and a parent, kids nowadays don't have very much free time compared to previous generations. So, I mean, my own children have a very hectic schedule, lots of activities, there's school, there's after school. It's wonderful for their development. But equally, children nowadays don't have very much time for unstructured play. Risky play is something that a generation ago, we were all just sent outside. Nowadays, we're very fearful to just let our children out and about.
It's interesting because you just said, well, it's wonderful. They're so busy, but it's wonderful for their development. But now the evidence would suggest maybe it's not wonderful. Because the thing about, like, we've had Niall Moyna and people like that on the show before who say they're not able to run, jump, hop, skip, all, like they can't hop on one leg the way they used to. And it's the lack of free play. It's the lack of climbing a tree, falling out, learning from trial and error, an unsupervised sort of activity.
Exactly. And that's where that role of risky play comes in. You do have to make these mistakes to learn and learn what works. So I think somewhere in the middle is probably what we're looking for. You know, you want children to have opportunities to find their niche in sports or activities or whatever. But I'm a really big proponent of letting children get outside and, you know, go to the beach, climb a tree. They might fall. That's okay. And especially for younger children, I'm a big proponent of getting them outside. Like, I would rather to see a little 3 or 4 year old outside with a stick playing in the mud, jumping up and down, rather than giving them a pencil or a crayon too soon.
Really?
Absolutely. So interestingly, there's differences in countries and cultures currently around this kind of school readiness piece. And a lot of that will go back to these functional skills like acquisition of life skills. So here in Ireland, we have a fantastic preschool system now, and it has benefited every little child that I meet. But interestingly, in some of the Scandinavian countries, they delay the age of starting school until 6 or 7 in
even
some cases.
Even preschool-y sort of things.
I mean, I don't know what age. I don't know.
Yeah, Finland is the kind of forerunner in that.
So they would look at delaying that school readiness piece, and they focus a lot more on kind of nature-based learning, getting the children outside, because actually both from a motor development perspective, but also from a sensory perspective, it's so important to be outside, getting your hands dirty, jumping around in mud on the beach, things like that. And I don't think our children are getting enough of that
nowadays. So if there's parents listening to this, and I'm sure there are, and they're going, oh, I don't know how to get it right in that case, what should parents, ordinary parents with a 7 or 8 year old, what should they be doing?
So I think giving the child a little bit of time and space and patience is really important, because to go back to those kind of skills like tying shoelaces, riding a bike, kicking a ball, whatever it is, there's a very big, what we call normal development or typical development is quite a vast spectrum. So you might have one child who, for example, is learning to ride a bike at 3 and would be able to pedal a bike at 3, no problem. You could also have 7-year-olds learning to do the same thing, and actually both are okay, but we need to give the child the time and space to figure that out for themselves. And if their schedule is very hectic on the weekends, and if, you know, parents are busy, ferrying from one activity to the other, it's actually not that much opportunity.
So you're saying that I'm a really good parent because I just throw them out in the back garden and say, stay out there and just do whatever. So I was obviously top class then.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do parents get too stressed about milestones and having to hit milestones by certain ages?
I think nowadays there's a lot of focus on reaching numbers, and
there's a lot of literature, there's a lot of parenting books.
Like, you know, we're all under such pressure now to be perfect parents, whereas actually the literature would tell us that good enough parenting is good enough.
Yeah.
So I think,
and we're only ever going to be good enough anyway. We're never going to be perfect.
No parent is ever going to be perfect.
Nope. And in fact, I do think that perfectionism is a horrible pressure that actually creates just anxiety for child and parent. So even perfect parenting isn't perfect because it's too perfect.
Absolutely. And you want the child and the parents to be able to find that enjoyment and fun as well. So is it fun if the child's just been ferried from one activity to another all day long, as opposed to maybe going to the beach together for a walk?
Yeah. There are, I presume there is a point though when if your kids haven't reached a certain development stage that maybe you should...
Absolutely.
Not so much worry, but you should get help.
Yeah, I think it's just to be mindful of it. And, you know, that's where my job comes in, is supporting those children who are struggling to reach those milestones or be able to do those tasks independently. So, again, you know, thinking about normal can look, or typical can look different for different children. So just to be mindful of that. But, you know, usually around like starting school age, so kind of 5, 6, 7, we'd be looking at those things like being able to hold a pencil, being able to dress yourself. Now, these are vast skills, you know, with loads of different kind of micro skills within them. But there are some children for whom they will have what we call developmental delays. And there is a condition called developmental coordination disorder, sometimes called dyspraxia.
Yeah.
And that is a neurological condition that I do see in my clinical practice. Now, it's only a small proportion of children who will go on to be diagnosed with that. But it just... If you're noticing a child struggling.
It would be
struggling.
Commoner among kids who have things like ADHD and neurodivergency, wouldn't it?
Agree. And I mean...
Is it overdiagnosed, do you think?
No, I don't think it's overdiagnosed. No, I think there's definitely currently an overrepresentation of boys to girls. Now, again, is that because boys present differently to girls? Possibly, you know, we're seeing that in terms of autism. We would have traditionally thought more boys than girls presented that way, whereas they just present differently.
Yeah.
So are we going to see that ratio change in years to come? I don't know. But it is just things that I would look at. You know, if a child is really struggling to do things like learn to dress themselves, learn to use a knife and fork, or if there's a lot of distress coming with those things. So like if a child's getting really upset when they have to do basic things like dress themselves or whatever, or if it's taking them a long time, they're the kind of red flags I'd be kind of noticing.
Yeah, a lot of good advice in that. A lot of food for thought for parents. And good enough parenting, that's the takeaway, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming
into us.
That is Teresa Foley, their paediatric occupational therapist.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.